Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're all gathered here today, as I said previously, by the mercy of Jagannath, which is transmitted through the Acharyas, especially we have to remember Srila Prabhupada. If he had not done what he did, we wouldn't all be assembled here today. We wouldn't be chanting Hare Krishna. Maybe some of the Indians would be. That also not so likely. We're also here today because of the efforts of so many devotees who work hard and have dedicated their lives for preaching Krishna consciousness. Those who go out town to town, village to village, bringing the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, convincing others to change their lives. Srila Prabhupada went to the West. He personally brought some people into Krishna consciousness, and they brought others, and the process is going on. We have all, with some exceptions, some have been born into Vaishnava families, otherwise we have all undergone a change in our lives from being not in Krishna consciousness to being in Krishna consciousness. And that's because devotees have taken the trouble to go out, meet people, speak with them, encourage them, instruct them, and because devotees work hard to produce books, there are so many services which make a movement. So I congratulate all the devotees who are going out, continue to go out. It's a chain reaction. It's like Srila Prabhupada, he preached, and then some people came, they preached to others, and then the ones they preached to others. It's a pyramid. What's that called? Pyramid scheme. You know this pyramid scheme. It's a kind of cheating program. But this isn't a cheating program. This is the bona fide pyramid scheme with Krishna at the top. We're always on a lower level. We don't want to go up. Someone preaches to us, we're grateful to them. Someone preaches to them, and they are grateful to them. Someone preaches to them, they're like this. And we go all the way up through the parampara to Krishna. So I myself am somewhat withdrawn these days, in as much as I'm writing. That's also playing the Brihan Mridanga. But it's required that devotees go out and continue to be active in the preaching field. And I congratulate all of them. I'm always keen to promote book distribution. When I look out, I see a crowd like this, I see so many potential book distributors, untapped resources. Every one of you have friends and relatives who don't have Srila Prabhupada's books. friends, relatives, neighbors. And of course, you don't have to distribute books only to your friends, relatives, and neighbors. But there is a great scope to preach to anyone and everyone, everywhere. Of course, not everyone's that much literarily inclined. But somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada said, somehow or other, if these books go into their hand, they will be benefited. So I'm thinking of Bhagavatam distribution. You can all distribute to your friends, neighbors, colleagues at work, your clients, if you have that kind of business. If you're doing business, selling something, whatever, you can give books free. Build it into the price of the product you're selling. There are so many ways. Srila Prabhupada said we should agitate our brains to think of ways to distribute these books. And again, those of you who don't have a Bhagavatam set in your home, chi-chi, as they say in Bengali. It's not good. It's shame on you. You should have a set of Bhagavatam in your home. And if you have a set of Bhagavatam in your home, but you don't have a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then get that also. So, you could have predicted I'd speak on this. Another thing you can predict I'm going to speak on is about establishing, as Srila Prabhupada desired, rural communities for simple living and high thinking, varnashram. And in some ways I'm more interested in promoting this, in as much as book distribution is going on. It's something which our movement does and we know how to do it. But the great frontier is still there, the great challenge to establish farm communities as Srila Prabhupada wanted, and not only farm communities but varnashram dharma, establishing farm communities. Many people do that. There are many in the Western world, there are many communities of people who come together with the aim of getting out of the city and living a more simple, natural, literally down-to-earth life. There are many such communities, but varnashram, establishing that, it's a great challenge. Even simple living, it seems to be a great challenge. In the modern age, where people are used to having things, all kinds of conveniences, why use bulls for plowing when you can use tractors? Why use oil lamps when you can have electric lights? It doesn't seem to make sense. So it's something in our communities we have to keep on preaching about. I was thinking that in book distribution we have to keep on preaching to the book distributors, because it's easier not to do it. We're always looking for the easy alternative. It's easier not to do book distribution. It's easier to sit at home and imagine yourself to be a gopi or something like that. But to go out and meet the people who don't want Srila Prabhupada's books and sell them. Actually, they do want the books, but they don't know they want them. And they're pretty convinced that they don't want them. And we say that in Kali Yuga people are less intelligent, but they're good at inventing excuses on the spot for not taking Prabhupada's books. They they come up with all kinds of excuses. So it's not easy. So we have to again and again preach to the book distributors why we're doing it. It must be done, to take the challenge, to go out and do it. So in the same thing in our farm communities, we have to keep on preaching, because otherwise devotees tend to lose the idea. Why should we bother doing it the hard way if we can do it the easy way? The easy way inevitably involves buying things, and then mostly products of modern technology. So in two ways we're undermining our whole mission. One thing is, if we have to buy things, then we're getting away from the principle of self-sufficiency. And we have to do something to get the money, which means we have to do some business or begging. And again, self-sufficiency goes out. And it undermines our mission, in as much as things produced by modern technology, they're all going to be eco-unfriendly. Part of natural living is that everything gets recycled automatically. Everything that we use is either biodegradable or lasting over generations. Just like, for instance, as Srila Prabhupada gave the example, there's a barber in the whole village. The barber has a razor, not that everyone has a razor, and he uses it throughout his whole life. He uses it again and again and again. That might not be so much recommended in these days of AIDS and other diseases transmitted via the blood. But you get the point. Just like the brass utensils, they, after some time, they may get a hole in them or something, and they can be repaired. You can go on using the same utensils generation after generation. Jewelry can go on generation after generation. It's not like plastic jewelry, which has a very short life and then it degrades the environment. Of course, people in India don't give a damn about that mostly. And even the so-called environmentalists, at least in South India, many of them are meat eaters. That doesn't go together in the West, I think. Environmentalists, they're all vegans, aren't they? Yeah, but here you have environmentalists who are also meat eaters. And if you tell them that the meat industry is a major cause of environmental degradation, they don't like to hear it. So, let's push on the books and the farms. Special congratulations to the devotees who live on the farms, who are not here because they're on the farms. There's one thing about living on the farms. You have to live on the farm. It's different to being in the modern mobile life where you just like I meet some godbrother sannyasi, where did you come from? I just came from Argentina. I just came from Argentina or wherever. It's just like a normal thing in the modern age to come from any part of the world. It's a mobile society, and we think that's freedom, to be able to move around, just like the worm has the freedom, the worm in stool has the freedom to go from one side of the stool to the other. So we think we have the freedom to move around the world. I'm free. We're bound by material desire to this earth in this birth and to the whole universe. So let's go on producing vegetables. Self-realization by growing vegetables. We can make an advertisement. You can achieve self-realization by growing vegetables. Yat karoshi. Whatever you do, do it for Krishna's pleasure. If you grow vegetables for Krishna's pleasure, then Krishna becomes very satisfied and you become very satisfied. Recently I was glancing through a book by a new sannyasi of ISKCON who, although Indian bodied, was born and raised in Britain, in London, I believe. So I was glancing through and he was talking, he was giving directions about how to bring Krishna in your life, and he was talking about preparing food for Krishna, and he wrote that from the very beginning, even before you start cooking, when you purchase the vegetables from the shop, you can start meditating on getting the best vegetables for Krishna. It never occurred to him that you can actually grow vegetables with the idea that we're growing these for offering to Krishna. Vegetables come from a shop. So when you go to the shop, you choose the best vegetables to offer to Krishna. But actually, we can inform him that vegetables, most of them are grown in the ground, and you can grow vegetables with the idea of growing them very nicely for offering to Krishna. So we can have a seminar, or we can have a program attracting people. Self-realization by growing vegetables. And they might think it's something like you get free from stress or something like this. So much in what's going on in the name of spiritual life at the present time, it's more like how to get free of stress. You sit down and you go, and you get free from stress. Ah, spiritual. They have no idea. Chanting Hare Krishna. It's literally on a different platform. Getting free from stress is also material. That calm down. Calm down a bit. Get everything settled in place so you can get your energy together and go out and enjoy more sense gratification. It's just another kind of sense gratification. People have no idea. Spiritual life. Spirit, if you talk about spiritual, you're talking about ghosts. In the English language, when we talk about spirits, people think about ghosts, or they think about gin, whiskey, vodka. That's the most popular spiritual life. They don't know the most basic thing. I'm not the mucus that just came out of my nose. I'm not this body. We are eternal spiritual beings. They don't know? No idea. So one thing I'm excited about, to use a cliche, I'm very excited about this. That at IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, in Mandi, which you've probably never heard of, it's a place in Himachal Pradesh, which many of you may not have heard of also. It's a state in India, you've probably heard of India. So it's a prestigious educational institution, and the rector is Leela Purushottam Prabhu, who's been He's from Orissa, actually, and he's been a devotee probably all his life, but he's been initiated in ISKCON for about 30 years. He's the rector of that, and he is introducing reincarnation studies into the curriculum at IIT. So I'm excited about that, because we really need to promote this. Reincarnation is a fact. People who grow up in Hindu culture or Buddhist culture, they accept that. They don't really think about it. If they thought about it, they'd live their lives differently. And in the Western countries, there's some idea, because there's been so much evidence of reincarnation, or what we can call anecdotal evidence regarding reincarnation on YouTube, even on BBC, and there's an idea going around, and of course Srila Prabhupada's books have been distributed in the millions. So there's an idea that reincarnation happens, and there is such a thing as karma. But it's not solidified, it's not fully part of the mainstream. It should be taught. It sounds too loud, doesn't it? It seems to be too loud. It was okay in the beginning, and then someone decided we have to be Indian and put the sound on full blast. Real Indian culture. Right? So where should it be taught? It should be taught in the schools, right? From the beginning, that reincarnation is a fact. No. Should be taught even before you go to school. It should be something you grow up with. When you just part of the culture, you grow up with that. The first guru is the mother, and the mother will say the training. Why the mother is the first guru? Because they train. They're the first ones to start training. Don't do this, don't do that. Of course, it's probably illegal now for mothers to tell their children anything, what to do, what not to do. If it's not illegal, it'll be made illegal soon. So they tell them, don't do this, don't do that. If you do this, then in your next life, blah, 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 blah. You see, like that. It just comes automatically. Should come automatically with the culture. And you hear stories from Bhagavatam, or so many stories also. This Vikramaditya and the Baital, and you hear so many stories of how in a previous life someone did this and therefore they're like that. So, people grow up with that. It should, in other words, become part of the culture. And then, becomes solidified by specific instruction. How karma and reincarnation work. So it's a good beginning, because at this reincarnation studies at IIT, it's a good beginning because atheistic people, materialistic people, they don't want to accept the existence of anything which they can't measure. This is empiricism. Mapiyate iti maya. Maya means that you think you have to measure everything. That's one definition of maya. So materialistic people think that we can't believe in any spiritual dimension. We can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, feel it, hear it. We can't measure it, so it can't exist. And even if they are confronted with the facts of reincarnation, they'll, to the point that they can't deny it, they'll try to make some material explanation. That there's some, I don't know, they'll say there's some unseen matter. That's the excuse, right? If you can't see it, it must be unseen matter. Dark energy, dark matter. There's not enough matter in the universe to fit our equations. So it must be there, just we can't see it, that's all. So they'll make up something. They'll make up some idea. But the very fact that reincarnation has to be established in what the materialists accept as a scientific manner, if that can be done, it'll be harder for them to deny it. And people, they believe in general, people believe in science. Here in India, if we say, the scientists say, they'll be very, oh. If we say, Krishna says, yeah, Krishna, yeah, he said that a long time ago, right? Now we have science. Of course, in the Western world, it may be too late to make this scientific proof of reincarnation because people are disbelieving in science more and more. If we tell them that the the universe is overseen by someone with four heads, they may not have a problem with that. I have experience of that. You tell people that they're demigods and they can fly from planet to planet just on mystic power. A lot of people, they don't have a problem with it. We may be in our devotional line, we maybe overestimate the influence of science because, at least in my limited experience in the Western world, that it was at one time when I was in my generation, when we were growing up, that there was a very strong materialistic outlook, physicalist, now the term is physicalist, where people, it's strong tendency to disbelieve anything which might seem miraculous. People, we don't believe in miracles, but that phase seems to be over. For all the bravado of the so-called new atheists, people still believe in God. For all their so-called scientific evidence, people still believe in God. So, it's good that reincarnation studies are starting. That's in a systematic, scientific way. From a respected educational institution, IITs, Indian Institutes of Technology, they are respected institutes throughout the world. So it'll have to be taken seriously. But of course, that's not all. There's a lot of work to do to make this consciousness. We want to make this consciousness very widespread. Reincarnation is a fact. That's what Srila Prabhupada was preaching mostly in the Western world. The first thing he would preach is that you're not the body, that you're an eternal spiritual being. So that needs to be established. Establishing that will undermine the whole edifice of Western civilization, which is based on, it's a basic epistemic ontological mistake. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. Everything. They got everything wrong. Their religion is wrong. Their atheism is even wrong. Even if you're going to be an atheist, you should be a more sophisticated atheist. So that's something exciting coming up. I've been talking about, over the last 2 or 3 days, about moaning and groaning about the aging of this body. And of course, it's not only my body is aging, your body is aging also. And mostly the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if there are any, I don't think there are any left under 60 years of age. Most are closer to or past 70. So, in a few years, there'll be big Vyasa Puja celebrations in Puri for Gokulchandra Prabhu, Murari, and others. That has to come. Should come. Maybe in Salem. Maybe in Croatia. Who knows? You don't want to die in Croatia. Anywhere but Croatia. Serbia? Several devotees who I've spoken to, God brothers, GBC members especially, they're very concerned that with the passing away from this world of the Prabhupada disciples and the big leaders and the big gurus, what will be the future of ISKCON? They're very concerned. I'm concerned about the future of ISKCON, what it is right now, but it is quite likely, maybe even probable, that there will be some phase of turmoil. Succession problems seem to come in every generation. It's easier if we have primogeniture. Is that the right word? Tapavid's asleep. He could tell me. That Srila Prabhupada used that word. He said the kings, they have this system called primogeniture. Prabhupada used the word. I hadn't heard the word before Prabhupada used it. Which means that the king's son becomes the next king. And it's pretty smooth. Just like recently, the Queen of England died. The Queen of the United Kingdom and other places. And then her son became the king. So it's a clear system. But actually primogeniture means it's the son, not the daughter, only the son. So in that way, in the family line of gurus, it's very clear that the eldest son becomes the next guru, it may be all the sons. And it's pretty smooth, but we don't have that. There are many sampradayas that don't have that. And that often leads to some fracturing. So some GBC members are afraid that ISKCON won't hold together. We don't know. It may or it may not. But the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go on. That I am confident of. And I think ISKCON will go on also, one way or the other, because we all need each other. It's better to be together than not together. But the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will continue. The followers of Srila Prabhupada, there may be differences between them, and then there We'll see differences in the disciplic lines. And the differences may become more distinct in course of time. But it's more or less the same thing. Just like we speak of the Gauriya Math. What do we mean by the Gauriya Math? Specifically, if we want to be precise, the Gauriya Math means the institution founded in Bagh Bazar by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. That is the Gauriya Math. But we use the term broadly for so many different institutions. There's the Gauriya Mission based in Bagh Bazar from that Gauriya Math. And then from Sri Chaitanya Math, the original Math founded by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then after Saraswati Thakur's passing, so many different of his disciples made different mats, and ISKCON also came out. And then after the passing of Saraswati Thakur's disciples, then his disciples, they also made different subgroups. But when we say Gauriya Math, it's more or less the same thing, isn't it? They all worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, they do kirtan. Philosophically, they're all on the same page, pretty much. But there are, if you go a little deep, you'll see there are some difference of flavor, some different ways of doing things. So in the same way, we can expect that the branches branching out from Srila Prabhupada, they'll be somewhat different, somewhat distinct. I'm hopeful that the particular way I'm trying to inspire my disciples to follow Srila Prabhupada, I'm hoping that will be perpetuated, that this branch will continue. And that all of you will continue to practice and preach. Some of you may initiate also, that is expected. Continue the line, expand in this way. Some we can expect will do that, others we may not expect. We expect those who are now taking the great responsibility of leadership to go on and increase their responsibilities and formalize their leadership role when I've passed away by themselves initiating, but others can do so also. Who knows who will emerge? No one ever thought that Abhay Charanaravinda Prabhu would emerge as the world acharya. And even after he's definitely emerged as the world acharya, some are still denying it. They just can't believe it. They can't believe it's possible. So it may be someone who's not considered very prominent at the present time may come up. Anyway, the point is that generation after generation, the responsibility is passed on. Child is the father of man, there's a saying in English, which the child now is going to be a father later. It's a natural process. So the children now become the parents later. The disciples now become the gurus later. This festival is a festival of gratefulness, that much overused word in the present day. Gratefulness, compassion, empathy. If you use these words too much, they lose their zing. But yeah, gratefulness, compassion, empathy, these are all essential qualities for saintly people. So it's a day when we express gratefulness to our gurus. I express gratefulness to my gurus, and I express gratefulness to all of you also for practicing Krishna consciousness, for helping me in my service, my attempts at service in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Thank you to all of you helping in various ways. Thank you to all of you for making this festival a festival. Festival needs participants, otherwise it can't be a festival. Thank you all for coming. And to the organizers, if you don't notice the management, it's good management. Everything just goes, and prasad's on time, everything's in order. If you don't notice, good management. Organizers, helpers in so many ways, cooks, pot washers, servers of prasad, vegetable cutters. Oh, so many things. I don't even know all the things that are going on. Help finding accommodations, helping the devotees to get the accommodations, all different problems may arise in between. So thank you for all who have helped. Thank you for all who have donated. It costs a lot of money, no doubt, to put this on. There's one housewife here who secretly sells her jewelry from time to time and gives substantial donations, who gave a substantial donation for this festival. So if you like housewives, you can take a cue from that. We're always ready for more money. The main purpose of Vyasa Puja is to collect a lot of money, is it? I want to collect all your good wishes. That's already there. But yeah, people give. You're giving to me, which, thank you, that shows your trust in me, that I won't use it for any personal purpose. And I won't. I'll use it all in Krishna's service. So thank you to those who have donated for this program and for so many other programs. And you're welcome to go on donating. Thank you for, again I said, the cooks, and wherever I go, devotees, they like to cook for me. I think they should try to understand the seventh verse of the Gurvashtaka better, that Guru is considered as good as God, but he's not God, because I'm not Jagannath. I can't eat like he eats, especially at this age. So please don't be disappointed. You like to cook so many preparations, but I can look at them. That much I can do. Today you want to offer chapan bhog? I look at them. So you can be satisfied with that. And then we'll distribute to all the devotees here. It's better to become a guru when you're young, when you have a good digestion. But my eating days are over. I mean, not completely, I still have to eat something, but the days of eating big feasts, maybe once a year, but not today. So maybe, we'll see. I apologize. Thank you for your love. in cooking so many items. Says, sannyasi isn't supposed to eat nice food anyway. And old bodies, they're not meant for luxurious eating. So thank you to the drama troops. We had two dramas. Thank you. This is great preaching. Now we just had dramas in our own group, but that's very good preaching. If you can organize, very nice way to engage devotees also. If it's in a drama, you can put the heavy message in the drama, and it will be more easily assimilated. Just like there's that drama, Who is a Fool? And the answer is, everyone who's watching it is a fool. But it's put in such a way that it's mentally digestible. It's entertainment plus education. What's that called? Edutainment, something like that. Huh? Entertainment. Edutainment, something like that. So this is a very, very good way to preach also. And even though there are so many dramas and so many things out there on the internet, but still people like to, there's some flavor in live drama, live music, live kirtan. So thank you for the drama troops and internet. Thank you to Hrishikesh Prabhu and team for doing all kinds of things. I don't know what they're doing because I have no idea about all these technical things, but devotees seem to be very satisfied with that. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into it. And the end result is that you can very easily access the talks of Srila Prabhupada and myself, and not only access them, but you can find out different lectures on different topics and so many different things. There are many more things I'd like to speak about, many things I'd like to speak about, but in lectures, series of lectures, so many things. I have a whole series of talks planned on atheism and so many different topics, but I'm just putting it off till I get this phase of my work on this latest book, The Mood and Mission, and get that done, and then I can start to give lectures on more different topics. Often devotees write and say, can you speak on this topic or that topic? If I like the topic, I can speak on it, but you have to do the research and send me an outline, because to speak on different topics in a manner that's going to be effective, it takes quite some research. So if you send me a draft, and I like the topic, I want to I'll speak on it. Otherwise, I may not. Someone wrote recently saying, can you give talks on the Mahabharata war? Yeah, I could do, but then I'd have to read it all again. Where's the time for all of that? There's so many things to speak on. Thank you to Murari Gupta Prabhu and others who have helped to get the disciple database together. It's good to keep for now and for posterity a list of all the devotees who have come to me. Thank you for all who have made the decorations, and I apologize to Chaitanya Sankirtaneshwar. He made all the effort of making this decoration here, and I came and had it removed. Sorry about that, but it had a very strong chemical smell from putting the flowers with glue. And inevitably I would have got a headache from that, so don't mind. Thank you to the dog team. You're wondering what I mean by the dog team. It's the team who stay up at night chasing the dogs away from outside my room. Otherwise, I can't sleep very well. So devotees, I didn't ask them to, but some of them stay up in shifts to chase out the dogs so I can sleep peacefully. Thank you very much. Thank you to Narayan Prabhu for beads. Those who are getting initiations, beads. You may see they're very nicely made. Every single bead is checked. If there's a crack, if there's a crack in one bead, the whole string is rejected. So that way I don't have to, every few days, chant on new beads because your beads broke. So keep your beads, they'll last for a lifetime if you don't lose them. And in this regard, talking about initiation beads, I'd like to call that Mataji, whose name I don't remember. Nika. Who is from Ukraine, came from China at short notice, not expecting to get a visa because it's not so easy to get an Indian visa from China due to political adversity. So this is special case for initiation. She just came. She's been waiting for initiation for some years. So we're just going to have a on-the-spot initiation for her. So I need the beads. Oh, still here, not in Australia. Okay. Did you offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada? First, please offer to Prabhupada, then to... Yeah, okay. All right, Hare Krishna. Yeah, you can sit on an asan. No, I don't need it now. Don't need it now. All right, please sit like this. And come a little close, yeah, because I have to stretch out. Okay, so please say the four regulated principles.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Please accept my humble obeisances. Mm. I promise that I will chant daily, minimum 60 rounds. I promise that I will not eat meat, fish. I will not gambling. I will not do illegal sex. I will not do intoxication.
Did she say all four? Did she say all four? I couldn't. It sounds a bit echoey. Said all four? Okay. And said 16 rounds. Okay. I'm generally giving to disciples now names of disciples of Srila Prabhupada, names that Srila Prabhupada gave. I almost ran out of names of lady disciples. There are just a few left. So I'm giving you the name of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And it's a name that appears in Srimad Bhagavatam as a male name, but it can be a female name also. And there's something very special about this name, which I'll tell you after I give the name, which is Jaleo Devidasi. What's very special about that name? Is Jaleo Mataji here? I think she's here. All right. So I said it's the name of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and she's here now. So you... you can go... you bow down, touch her feet, and ask for her blessings. All right? She's here somewhere in the crowd. Yeah. She'll explain the meaning of her name also. All right? You have to find her somehow in that big crowd. Hare Krishna! Everyone, please give blessings to Jaleo Junior. And take blessings from Jaleo Senior. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. That's all.